You know, my daughters can and do regularly accept whatever trips I offer them, and that's perfectly fine. One of the things we'll talk about today in this next talk may be, among other things, what kind of travel, could a school district official accept that? So this is kind of going to pick up where the last talk left off, and whereas we were kind of going through the penal code and what sort of crimes and what sort of things can we not accept, we're going to sort of bridge that with some of the conflict of interest laws and regulations and local policies that really kind of supplement that. And if you remember one of the things that was said, you have to follow all the laws. So we're going to try to fill in some of that all the laws piece. So Chrissy is going to kind of kick it off and start to go through 176, but we have a series of things we're going to go through, and then we'll have hopefully some interesting hypos at the end.
Well, I would add to that since you're getting ethics credit for this session, we will be discussing Rule of Professional Conduct 1.12 on the organization as a client. When we were, brainstorming disclosures and need to disclose things that might occur in one's life, my mind went back to my senior year of high school and spring break, where my friends decided we were going to take a trip to College Station to stay with a friend there who happened to live in the men's athletic dorm. We did not disclose to our parents where we were going. In fact, we told them that we were going to stay at our friend's dad's house. We had a lovely time. We thought we had gotten away with everything. I pulled into the driveway with a spring break glow at the end of the week. And my mother met me at in the driveway with her arms crossed, and she said, "How was College Station?" At that point, I knew the jig was up. I fessed up. I told her everything. And I lost a good bit of freedom over the weeks that followed. Interestingly, I learned from my mother over the following weeks that had I just disclosed to her our plans from the beginning, she would have been fine with it. I was going with friends she knew and trusted. We were going to stay with a friend she knew and trusted, and we were almost in college anyway. But it was the concealment of our plans and the failure to disclose that got me into so much trouble. So similarly, we're going to look at some laws that require that you make a disclosure. And if you make that disclosure, you can still go on with your normal course of business. It doesn't change the actions you have to take after disclosure. There are some things that even if you were to disclose it, it's still not okay. And so we'll try to put some flesh on some of these rules for you. We're going to start with Local Government Code Chapter 176 and the reporting requirements there. And we realize that many of you are very familiar with these, and so we're going to try to give you just a brief overview of what these laws are, and then we'll look at some hypotheticals and examples and really dig into these once we have a common vocabulary. So Chapter 176 does require that local government officers and vendors disclose certain business relationships, certain gifts, and certain family relationships. 176 does not require recusal. This is one where you can disclose and go about your business. Local government officers, for the purpose of Chapter 176, include your board members. It includes your superintendents and an agent of the district who exercises discretion in planning, recommending, selecting, or contracting of a vendor. And that agent could be a third party or it could be an employee of the school district. Disclosure forms have to be filed when these conditions or relationships occur by the local government officer and by the vendor at issue. The local government officer's duty to disclose is triggered when a vendor is entering into a contract with the school district or considering entering into the contract, and one of three conditions occurs. The first is that the local government officer or a family member receives income of $2,500 or more in the preceding 12 months. That income would be taxable income, not investment income. Additionally, if the officer or family member receives gifts from the vendor, of $100 or more, valued at $100 or more in the preceding 12 months, or if there is a family relationship that triggers that requirement, and that's between the vendor and the local government officer, and that would be the third degree by consanguinity or by blood, or the second degree by affinity or marriage. The LGO's duty is to file a Form CIS, a conflicts disclosure statement, and there's a deadline on when you have to file that. It has to be filed by 5 p.m. on the seventh business day after the person becomes aware of facts requiring filing. Disclosures are not required for certain gifts. There are some freebies here. The first one would be a political contribution as defined by the election code. Second would be food that's accepted as a guest. There used to be an exception for travel, lodging, and entertainment accepted as a guest. That exception no longer applies. Other types of disclosures would be present if, or you don't have to disclose when the gift is offered because of kinship or a personal relationship or professional or business relationship that is independent of the local government officer's status.